Hello everyone, welcome to Matrix Moments. Today I'm delighted to announce it, a start of a new series of Founder Moments, which is focused on D2C brands, where we look to uncover the nitty-gritties and, you know, inside goings of how to build in brands that can scale and endure. And to start things, I want to welcome Shashank, the founder of The Whole Truth. They're a very interesting and high-growth company, which we are lucky to be investors in.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm sure a bunch of you would have tried the products. If you've not, please do. They've just launched a new set of chocolates as well, and I'm sure Shashank will talk about it. So I really wanted to plug that in. I love the product.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
So Shashank, to kick things off, maybe you can spend a few minutes to talk about your own journey. Very interesting way how you started the company, what you're building, and let's go from there.
Sure. Thank you for having me. I've always admired this podcast a lot. I'm a avid listener, so stoked to be here. And I love it for the level of preparation that you guys bring to the podcast. So I hope I live up to that benchmark. I've tried, I have my notes. But for the first answer, I don't need my notes. That's my life. Yeah. So I started The Whole Truth in November 2019. And in hindsight, it seems like my entire life was leading up to it. So let me talk about both the professional and personal journeys that led to this, because it truly does seem like the culmination of both these journeys. So professionally, I have a very staid old Indian middle class, engineering karke chamka gi to nahi ho payega, to MBA directly, yeah. And then MBA mein chamka gi, finance is not my thing, marketing is. So what's the best marketing company? Unilever. Okay, so let's get into Unilever. So did that, yeah. Joined Unilever from campus, did that for 3 years, so 2009 to 2012. The startup bug hit me at that time in 2012. And no one understood startups at that time. It was a very, very fresh word. And Jaideep of Fasos had just raised his Series A, and he'd put out an email saying hiring entrepreneurs in residence. And that sounded very exciting, that, you know, I can learn entrepreneurship on someone else's money. So quit Unilever, went, joined Fasos, did that for 2 years. Realized that restaurant operations is not my cup of tea. And that time Fasos was building a brick and mortar restaurant chain, right? So left in 2014 and came back to Unilever. Did marketing in my second stint for 5 years, and then 2019 quit to start off. And personally, used to be a really, really obese, 110 kg, 19-year-old.
Yeah, don't look at me. I'm getting there.
I joke with my friends from school now that actually being a obese kid is a huge blessing, because we are the ones who are conscious about it then through life. And all my thin friends from school who were athletes, who were, you know, runners and basketballers, etc., are all now, unfortunately.
Exactly what happened to me.
Because they never had to worry about themselves, right? Whatever they ate, whatever they did, nothing happened. And the joke used to be, tum saans lete ho, hum mote hote. Right? So now the tables have turned and how. So used to be a really obese kid. Then when I entered college, something happened. Most probably was a girl's rejection. When I said, all this fat has to go. She said no, because this is the way I look. So within 9 months, lost some 40 kgs. And that was just stupidity. I learned that you lose weight by increasing calorie deficit. And that equation can be pulled from both ends. Yeah. So why not? So stop eating, start running, and you will lose weight. And it happened. And then I thought, now I'm thin, which is equal to fit, and hence I can eat the way my thin friends do. And lo and behold, 3 years, all of it came back.
Did your love life change?
Not at all. In fact, then there would be, you know, girls who would be like, who'd see the old photographs and be like, oh, you were so cute back then. I was like, don't get me started. You know what I've gone through. So 3 years, all of it came back. Then I lost it again. Then again, 3 years, all of it came back. Then I lost it again. It was in the third weight loss cycle that I started educating myself, because I'd gotten done with this repetitive cycle. So I started studying about food and fitness, went deep into research papers, started writing a blog called Fit Shit. which is the genesis of this company. The company, for viewers, is called Fitshit Health Solutions, as an ode to that blog. And that's when, and Fitshit really took off. And I was writing these long 1500 word articles on Fitshit when, you know, when people were saying that folks don't even stop on an Instagram image. There were so many people reading long, technical, deep articles. That gave me the two fundamental insights that A, consumers in India also care about their food and they do not trust what they are getting. There is huge distrust with food brands.
Yeah.
I am not alone in this distrust. Everyone has it. And the second that, you know, what was happening to personal care, and I was a marketer, I was selling creams. What I was doing in personal care is what food marketers were doing to food. You know, putting star marks on front of packs saying lose weight in 3 weeks and stuff like that, which comes from personal care, right? Shinier skin in 2 weeks and pimples go away in 3 weeks with a star mark saying,
as per
a study done on 12 Indonesian women in 2001 under standard temperature and pressure. So that was happening to my food.
Yeah.
And I was like, why isn't there a food brand that just says that, hey, the food you're about to eat has A, B, C, D, E and nothing else. Food should be about ingredients, not about, good looking models and drippy chocolate on the front of pack. And it was that thought that led to the brand, which we started in 2019. And it's been 2.5 years of being proven right by the consumer. So, that's been the journey.
Yeah. No, super. So, coming to, in your mind, how do you think about what are the key ingredients of building a brand that can scale and endure?
So, two parts to that question, right? Brands that scale and brands that endure.
Hmm.
I think at the atomic level, there is one single, if you put a gun to my head, there is one single thing that's the biggest determinant of both, which is brands are built on fundamental human insights.
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean by that? First of all, brands are not equal to products with labels.
Mm-hmm.
If you're creating a range of products with beautiful labels, you have a range of products with beautiful labels, not a brand.
Yeah.
Right? A brand is something larger, a story that's larger than the products, which casts a halo on top of your entire portfolio and lifts it, gives it a force multiplier, right? That's why there is a multiple for brand in the startup, in the VC world, and in public markets, right? And that story, that purpose, is born out of fundamental human insights. What do I mean by that? You take the largest, most enduring brands in the world, and they will be based on an insight which can be stated in 4 to 5 words. For example, Dove is about real beauty. That women don't need to put makeup to be beautiful. You are beautiful as you are.
Mm.
Surf is dirt is good.
Mm.
Daag achhe hain. So if kids go out and play and get dirty, don't blame the kids.
Yeah.
Be happy.
Mm.
Let them play. Surf will take care of the dirty clothes. Daag achhe hain. Starbucks, one of my favorite brands. It's not a collection of cafes. The insight behind Starbucks is the third place. That every human being has work and home and they want a third place where they go and sit, meet friends, be with themselves, think, relax. Starbucks is building the third place. And you think of then their menu selection, their outlet selection, the way they craft their experience from this lens and it starts making sense. Why is it that Bandra has 5 Starbucks, right? So all enduring large brands are based on a fundamental human insight. And it's this insight that decides both their scale and how far they endure.
Mm.
Why? If your insight is truly fundamental to human beings, it'll endure.
Yeah.
Right? Fundamental human insights don't change. Humans want honesty. Humans want dignity. Humans want inspiration. That doesn't change in a decade or 2 decades.
Yep.
That endures for years. And the TAM of your brand is equal to the TAM of your insight.
Yeah.
So if your insight is dirt is good, then you're limited to being a detergent brand. Hence, Surf is a detergent brand.
Sure.
It cannot tomorrow. Surf is great at making things whiter. Why can't it make a cream? You will not buy it.
Yeah.
Right? Can you imagine buying a Surf face cream? Right. Or can you imagine buying a Fair and Lovely detergent?
No chance. Yeah.
Right? So, both the scale of the brand and how long it endures, the fundamental atomic unit is insight.
Yeah. But then, if you bring in the whole truth story, right? How do you go from that insight? What was that insight? How do you go from there to actually figuring out, you know, which customer segments that is most applicable to start with?
Yeah.
And how do you go from there?
So, how we articulate the whole truth insight is no one likes being lied to. Right? Now, apply that to men, women, kids, adults, seniors, Indians, Americans.
Sure.
White,
that's
black.
A universal
It's a universal insight. So in terms of how widely you can apply it, it's almost infinite, right? But where do you start is the question. How do you, right? And so there are some, you know, marketing seems like this fluffy thing which doesn't have science behind it, but it does. And there are some cardinal rules which do not get, cannot get broken. The first one is you can only build a brand for the top 1% and bring it down. The opposite is not possible, right?
Yeah.
And again, the example here is Maruti is a great brand, built for the masses, will never be able to sell you a car worth more than 20 lakhs. You will just not, like 15 lakh ki gaadi will be a struggle for Maruti to sell, you will not buy it. Mercedes started with a 2 crore car, today is putting out a 25-30 lakh rupee car, people are lining up for it, right? You can only go from the top below, not from, you can't create a brand for tier 2-3 India and then sell it to Bandra Kulaba. You can build for Bandra Kulaba and then dhire dhire take it to tier 2-3 India. Now this journey, if this is the only journey possible, right, and it's like pouring water downhill or uphill,
then you have to start from the top.
So if this is the only journey possible, then it poses a set of questions to organizational capabilities, because when you go from the top 1% to the top 10% to the top 20%, tastes, ability to pay value, channel of sales, all of these start changing, right? Expectations, because the top 1% has very different, you know, exposures in life. They have a very different expectation set compared to the others. And hence, the way I think about it is that brands which will scale in this new era from a org capability point of view will almost need to build two separate capabilities in-house. One which speaks to this top 1%, which the way a marketer should think about it is the fountainhead of your brand's, you know, the expertise of your brand. It's the core. And this core group, this group of influencers, these this group of people in your circles, you know, the marathoner in your circle, the triathlete in your circle, when those guys start eating a brand or trying a brand, you aang band karke you go after them, right? And all of us use these heuristics in life. I have a friend who's a financial genius. Wo jahan bolta hai main wahan paisa dalta hu, right? I have a fitness guru friend, wo jo bolta hai main wo kapda kharidta hu, gym ke liye main wo wala equipment kharidta hu, right? So because we are not experts at everything, we have these heuristics. Isse ye baat suniye, right? So to sell and maintain a brand with these experts, you need a different org capability, and then inke chalte jo word of mouth generate ho raha hai, and hence your brand can go down. To sell and cater to that mass audience, you need a different capability, and orgs which are able to house both these capabilities in the same place and nurture both of them are the ones who I think will be able to traverse this journey.
Yeah, makes sense. We'll come back to that in a bit, but let's go to products first, right? So conventional wisdom used to be that, you know, you have one or two hero products, build the brand around them and scale from there on. But it seems like the new unicorns, at least Mamaearth or Boat or others that are emerging, have a, you know, lots of different products, almost an SKU a week or SKU a month that's coming out. So how does that, you know, how do we reconcile that versus what we just talked about?
So,
and how would you do it?
Yeah. I'm going to give a slightly long answer to this because I think I need to introduce some more concepts to answer it. But the short answer for those who don't have the patience to sit through the long one is I stand somewhere in the middle. I think modern day brands will neither be one single hero SKU pe built brands, nor will slash should they be an SKU a week. I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. Now for the long answer. So if you go back into the history of brands, brands of yore, brands from 50 years ago, the Parachutes and the Batas and the Tata Namaks of the world were basically branded commodities, right? That was the era when shuru mein maal khule mein bikta tha.
Correct.
And these
quality bekar
hai. Quality bekar thi, standardization nahi thi, regulation sahi nahi thi. These brands came in, put a stamp on it and said, you know what, I'm going to charge 2 rupees more than the other guy, but you can then trust ki ye isse kuch hoga nahi tumhare ko, you will be okay, right? That game is now done.
Yeah.
Right, regulations are in place, the floor has risen, standardization has happened. Consumers expect a certain level of quality check and standard across products.
Yeah.
Hence, the reason to exist for brands has moved from this basic quality marni jana chahiye kha ke situation to being a decision on I will buy brands that reflect who I am. Right? I expect all brands to do decently good a job. There might be difference in expertise of products, but table stakes already set ho chuka hai. And I will hence now base my purchase decision on brands which are a representation of who I am, right? Which is decided by brands ka purpose, right? And like we discussed, purpose is born out of the insight. Fundamental insight on which your brand is based. Right, so this is the concept of how people now. So that answers first part of the question. I think the ek core SKU.
Doesn't that mean that? Sorry to interrupt, but doesn't that mean that, you know, if you take it to the logical conclusion, it's like hyper personalization, and hence an SKU a week makes more sense.
Actually, I absolutely think it's not hyper personalization. No matter how much. I don't know if there are sci-fi fans here, if there are Asimov readers in the audience, but you know, all science fiction books also talk about how predicting individual behavior is impossible, but predicting group behavior is very, very possible because, as I said, there are certain fundamental things that all human beings do.
Yeah.
Right? And hence, no hyper-personalization will actually always fail. You know, this story that the Facebook Googles of the world keep trying to sell us ki Rajat ko wo ad dikhegi jo Rajat ko dikhni chahiye is a sham, and we're seeing it over and over again, right? So coming back to saying that one part of the answer is brand is equal to one hero product, that era is gone. Question is how far on the other side can we pull it? And that question speaks to brand elasticity. Right now, elasticity in the physics sense of the term has two vectors along which the limitation happens. One is how far can you stretch the elastic, and the other is how fast. Right, so let's talk about both. How far can you stretch the elastic, which is can a mother brand how far can a mother brand go before saying I can't house anything more than this in this brand, goes back to insight, right? That
correct.
How large is your insight? That defines the boundary condition of how far you can go. Second is how fast then, right? There, the limiting factor of speed is expertise. Consumers intuitively judge brand expertise through a few heuristics which are in their head. Again, they will never articulate it this way, but they have certain thumb rules by which they judge ki ye brand, you know, you would have heard saying ki brand abhi kuch bhi kar raha hai. Matlab kuch bhi chal raha hai yahan pe. Matlab kal ye kal kal कल आई डोंट नो स्ट्रेच मार्क कीम निकाली थी, आज मेंस फेस वॉश निकाले, कुछ भी चल रहा है यहाँ पे, राइट? व्हाट दे आर इफेक्टिवली ट्राइंग टू से, दे हैव अ थंब रूल, कंज्यूमर्स हैव अ थंब रूल टू से दैट आई स्टिल वॉन्ट एक्सपर्टीज फ्रॉम माई ब्रांड. यू आई लव योर इनसाइट, आई लव योर पर्पस, आई विल गिव यू अ शॉट, बट इफ योर प्रोडक्ट इज शिट, सॉरी,
मतलब
फिर नहीं हो पाएगा, राइट? व्हाट आर दीज ह्यूरिस्टिक्स, टू गिव यू अ फ्यू एग्जाम्पल्स, when consumers see a pack on a shelf which is stickered, they judge expertise. Because, you know, it's a bad long-term signal. Ki tumne itna bhi invest nahi kara ki tum sticker chipka ke packet bech rahe ho. Right? Experts don't do that.
Sure.
Right? The other is, expert brands launch ranges up front.
Yes.
Right? If you're launching a chocolate, you launch with 7 flavors. Not, मैं चॉकलेट ब्रांड हूँ, मैंने एक चॉकलेट निकाली है, राइट? कंज्यूमर्स जज इट कि ये एक्सपर्टीज नहीं है, राइट? एंड द ड्यूअलिटी हियर इज, एक्सपर्ट्स आर बोथ फास्ट एंड स्लो. एक्सपर्ट्स आर फास्ट बिकॉज दे हैव डन दिस 10 टाइम्स, सो दे नो द कॉमन मिस्टेक्स, दे कैन गो फास्ट. बट एक्सपर्ट्स आर स्लो बिकॉज दे डोंट पुट शॉर्टी शिट आउट, राइट? इट्स इन दिस बैलेंस दैट द आंसर टू द स्पीड क्वेश्चन ऑन हाउ फास्ट शुड यू पुल द इलास्टिक लाइज.
Yeah.
And the last problem, which defines how fast should you pull it, is a question of awareness. So, one more cardinal rule of brand building is the most direct and exact correlation of sales is with reach. Obviously, if consumers don't even know you make something, how will they buy it? Right? अब आपने एक साल में 50 products निकाल दिए. Doesn't matter. There's a sure. Hindi saying, jungle mein mor nacha kisne dekha, right? So, if you can't build awareness at that speed of no each point. Of these things, then there's it's no as point. Good as jungle mein mor nacha, right? And if you have to always buy awareness through ad spend, then you will, as it is, never be a profitable business.
Correct.
So you have to wait for word of mouth to kick in, which takes its own
time.
Right, so this was the long
answer
to saying I think the answer stays somewhere in the middle. Will not be single commodity ek product hero product brand, but perhaps should also not be an SKU week.
Makes sense. And just last thing on this product piece, how critical is this product differentiation? Because say in skincare, like all these products or a lot of these products are being made in the same factory at times. Ingredients are up for sale or the formulations are up for sale. So where does that fit in and how should people think about it?
See, I think I have an extreme view on this. I think 3P led innovation, third party led innovation
will not happen.
Is the biggest bane of the CPG industry today. Why do I say so? Our mission is rebuild the world's trust in its food. Hence, assumption is trust is broken. Why did trust get broken? Because marketeers lie. Why do marketeers have to lie? You back end mein sab log same product bana rahe hain. But front end mein you have to say my product is different. How can you do it? You have to lie. Right? And when we were starting the brand, we also went to third parties first, right? Ki humara ye idea hai, product hai, bana do, because like making food especially is very scary. Kuch bhi galat hoega, like it can be a life threat. And everyone was like, dekho, you are nobody. This is my machine. You change your product to fit this machine, I will make it. I am not changing machine to fit your product. Right? That is when this aha moment happened, that as tough as it will be, this entire 3P led innovation thing will not work. Maybe you can use third party for scale up, but not for innovation. And the second thing that you asked, sorry, was
how differentiation, right? How important is this differentiation?
Entire articulation of moats actually comes from podcasts that I've heard you guys do. Right? And if you're building a product brand, unless you're building fast fashion, then being fast is your moat.
Correct.
CPG brands are actually the exact opposite. You want loyalty. You want consumers to aankh band karke every time go and pick your product. That is not going to happen without differentiation.
Yeah.
If they have no reason to say yahi wala biscuit leke aana, yahi wali cream leke aana, then it won't happen. So clearly the moat has to come out of differentiation, cannot come out of me too products nikalo lekin fast nikalo. Can happen in maybe electronics, fashion, that space which moves really fast. CPG is actually a slow industry. People want
expertise,
surety and expertise, and if you think about your brand purchases, why do brands endure? Because once people like something, they remove that cognitive load from their head ki mere ko ab is decision ke bare mein life mein sochna nahi hai, maine decide kar liya ki yahi hai mera wo, right? And the second one again is, as we discussed, if to sell every subsequent product you have to do advertising, then you're dead as it is. You'll never be a profitable business, right? And hence word of mouth is the only way. Word of mouth is not going to happen for me too. Word of mouth can only happen for differentiated products, right? So whichever way I look at it, the moat and the only way to build it is differentiation, and the only way to have differentiation is to have innovation in-house. Otherwise that won't work.
But doesn't that limit scalability?
It limits the speed at which you can scale. It doesn't limit scalability.
Right? Yeah, makes sense.
And hence the answer goes back to what's the time horizon that you're optimizing for. If it's a 5-year, VC is also playing fund cycle game, founder is also playing fund cycle game, then fight. If you're playing a 50-year game,
doesn't matter.
There is no limit actually. And CPG brands are the one place where I can say with, emphatically that if you're not playing a 50-year game, you're actually not even playing a 5-year game.
Yeah.
Right? 95% of brands die in 5 years.
Yeah.
Oh, pehle 3 saal mein bahut sahi growth hoti hai because proliferation ho rahi hoti hai, SKU badh rahe hote hain, channel badh rahe hote hain, kuch nahi pata lagta ki kya ho raha hai.
Yeah.
But then word of mouth doesn't kick in. Every subsequent sale comes from more marketing spend. P&L goes for a toss. Shit starts happening.
No, and these businesses compound over time. They're highly profitable.
These are absolutely compounding businesses. Like HUL, stock price keeps rising. PE keeps rising. Because like a clock, that business will deliver 7% year-on-year growth, right?
Yeah. So moving to brand building, at least in our portfolio, Whole Truth is one of the most loved brands. And it's, I think communication is very edgy. Hits the nail on the head. So what goes on behind the scenes to actually just get that going? And do you do that yourself? Do you have agencies? How do you just throw some light on some of that?
So when it comes to comms, I think the framework is to think of first, what do you want to say?
Yeah.
And then how you will say it.
Yeah.
The edginess, creativity is all the how. I think the real meat is in the what.
Yeah.
Right? And again, I'll keep sounding like a broken record, but the what comes out of purpose.
Yeah.
If you are built on an insight which consumers really resonate with, if I today stand on a rooftop and say, food brands are lying to you, 10 people out of 10 will raise their hands and say, I agree with what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Hence, I have their attention. And the second fundamental that we think of is, I actually hate selling. I hate, and I'm sure again a lot of people do, hate salespeople. Kisi wo electronics dukaan mein ghuste ho, people are in your face, ye wala le lo. I hate it. Like, main muh chupa ke nikal jata hun ki mere ko aankhon mein, like I airport pe ja rahe hote, you have those card salesmen. I'm sure most of us, like, just look the other way and go away, right?
Yeah.
We hate being sold.
And brand should be bought, not sold.
Exactly. Yeah. And for us specifically, we are very clear, see, if I can educate you on how to think about food, how to judge good food versus bad food, what are the frameworks, how to read an ingredient list, how to read a nutrition table, then if you go and apply that framework to the market, my brand should win.
Yeah.
Right? So why should I spend time saying hold to khareed lo and turn you off? So I spend all my time thinking about what are the most entertaining ways to educate you about how you should think about food. If I'm able to change your framework, my brand will sell. I don't have that problem. And then the second part is just, as I said, consumers consume content for only two reasons, education or entertainment. If you can do both, you have a sixer on your hands, right? So once the education lens is sorted, it's about making it entertaining. And we do all of it in-house. The writing of our brand scripts, of our content is all in-house, largely still led by me. And you know, I used to think of that as a problem, ki ye kaise scale hoga, ye kaise scale hoga, I am the bottleneck. But then I studied founder-led brands, and you see the US, there are a lot of founder-led brands where actually the founder leans into the brand and puts his personality fully into the brand. And that's a huge strength. Because brand comms are, the endurance of good brand comms is built on consistency. Right? Because brands are characters. If characters start acting out of character, you have a problem. The only way character stays in character, if there is one character behind it. Matlab, when I write, I can't help but be myself. Right? So so that's what we now optimize for. We don't even think about, oh, ye koi aur kaise karega. We think about, How can the rest of the company be set up with such great people and great processes that Shashank gets time to do this?
Sure, makes sense. And then in the initial days or, you know, early journey of brand building, how would you, you know, devote your time and capital towards brand building efforts versus, say, performance and...
The classic question where... our logical minds want a, you know, clear demarcation ki koi to bol de 80-20 hota hai ya 90-10 hota hai, koi ek exact answer de de. There is no exact answer. My answer is A. So I had two rules. One, there will be no time when zero money is being spent on brand building.
Even when you were just starting.
Just starting. That's awesome. Right? Chahe 10 rupay kharcho, there will be some money, time, effort that will be spent on brand building. And the second rule was, I will spend as much money that I don't need to ask a sales question out of, right? So if I can afford 5% of my marketing spend, and I'm sure the last 10% of every company's performance marketing spends are inefficient. I can guarantee that. Take that 10%. Start with that. And the secret sauce, which I am happy to shout from rooftops, but unfortunately no one is willing to listen, is keep that 10% aside and don't ask a sales question from it. Don't ask, ye humne content banaya, educate kara, fir sale hui kya? Kitne click hue, fir wo kitne convert hue jaake? Ask, we ask, we hold ourselves to a journalistic standard. We ask ourselves a question as a content creator would ask, ki how many people viewed it? What was the average view duration? When did people drop off? What are the comments looking like? Optimize the content. So that's
my way to think about it.
Rule set.
Awesome. So you've figured out your purpose, messaging, products, manufacturing, bana liya in-house. You've marketed it. Ab bechna bhi to hai. So how does distribution, you know, often founders think about, you know, should I sell on marketplaces? Should I sell on my own website? Should I go offline? How would you think about it, and when should founders think about doing one over the other?
See, eventually, to har jagah pe bechna. It's very clear.
Correct.
Ki, all distribution is distribution. And why should I make the consumer's life tough? Matlab, agar usko dukaan jaake khareedne gaya hai, to dukaan mein milna chahiye. Amazon pe khareedne gaya hai, to Amazon pe milna chahiye. In fact, my job, if my mission is to give you 100% clean label options for every kind of food that you eat, my job is as easy as it is for you to reach out and pull up a packet of junk. It should be that easy to reach out and pull out a packet of 100% clean label food also, right? So eventually, be
eventually everywhere.
Right? Don't judge distribution, because then you're judging consumer and then the joke is on you.
Right? Yeah, you're limiting your own market.
There is, having said that, a sequencing which I believe is optimal, because the difference between website, marketplaces and retail is the level of storytelling that you're allowed across each, and it's a diminishing level. Like max on website, medium on marketplaces, least on
offline.
Offline, mein, you're just discovered as a packet on a shelf.
Yeah.
Right. Again, first principle, if brands are built top 1% influencers ke saath and then you go down, then you want to build the brand with them and tell them the story and sell them on the story before they buy your product. Hence, the most relevant channel is D2C, upfront. Then you go to the next lesser level of storytelling, then you go to the next level of storytelling is the sequencing.
Yeah.
In my head, eventually be everywhere.
Makes sense. But, you know, founders often also say, you know, once they start the Amazon business, there'll be, you know, my same customer which was coming on my website, giving me the full margin. Now it's cannibalization happening. So that's just inevitable, right? Then you just live with it.
Trying to change. Marketers fool themselves that they can change consumer behavior. Matlab, consumer behavior, especially shopping behavior change, takes years and years.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, millions of dollars to change.
Yeah.
Right? So don't fight consumer behavior. Build a business at the back end, which there are so many levers to pull, right?
Yeah.
Have a part of the business that's earning very high margin, have a part of the business that's earning slightly lower margin.
Yeah.
In weighted averageness of the world, everything can be made to work. Mm. But don't try and like fight consumer behavior. You don't, especially as a startup, you don't have the resources to do anything about it. So I am a big proponent of wherever consumers want to buy, let them buy. If you really want your website to be the biggest channel of sales, there will be a limiting factor by the kind of category that you operate in, which you can't break through. But even to get to that ceiling, you will have to do a lot of stuff and, you know, give people a reason to let go of the extra 10% discount that they're getting elsewhere to buy from you, and live with the fact that there are few consumers who might say 10% mehenga lunga lekin meko experience chahiye, but not more than that.
Sure. Makes sense. No, I think this has been fabulous, Shashank. So what's next? What's coming at TWT? What can we expect new stuff coming from your side?
We just launched chocolates.
Yeah.
Which
How
was
it
a,
different?
It was a, I think a big, people didn't expect us to launch chocolates, right? People were like, "Arey, you are a protein brand, you are a healthy brand, you are a snack brand, and suddenly we are a indulgent chocolate brand." But I have always maintained that neither are we a healthy brand nor are we a snack brand, we are a truth brand, right? And we'll apply truth to every food category that you eat. And we don't judge consumers for their choices. And I strongly hate this notion of there is a healthy consumer and there's an unhealthy consumer. And the same guy who gets up in the morning, goes to the gym, has a protein bar, starts the day really healthily, the day is rough. By the time I'm ending it, at the end of dinner, I want a piece of chocolate to feel good about life, right? Same guy. But why should I be forced to eat a piece of chocolate which is full of refined sugar?
Yeah.
Right? Why can't I change that? So that's the philosophy with which we will continue to execute. Chocolates have launched, and as I hinted that, you know, if you think of chocolate brands of the world, they are all companies which do only chocolate, right? Cadbury's, Hershey's, Lindt, Mars, these are only chocolate companies, right? Because consumers expect expertise, right? So you will see a lot more. So we set up our own chocolate factory, full bean to bar process done in-house because we want to deliver that expertise, and you will see a lot more coming out of the chocolate factory in the near term. And then in the, and for us, near term is 3 months, midterm is 6 months.
You're running on the VC clock.
I am. in the mid term, now we've settled into this cadence of every 4 to 6 months, we enter a new category.
Okay.
So I think towards the end of the year, we're looking at another big and what you won't expect from us sort of category, which I'm not going to reveal.
You'll not reveal. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And the fun, just to throw the cat among the pigeons here, if we're a truth company, who said the lack of truth is only present in food?
Sure.
So lots coming up.
Elasticity is going to be tested.
It's It's trial and error with intelligent guesstimates.
But just on that, and maybe that's the last thing we cover, this house of brands, right? That's become the buzzword today. So would some of these new things that you launch go in separate brands? How do you think about that?
So again, I'm glad that this is the question we're ending with, because it takes me to what I started the session with, which is brands are built on insights. Yeah. And scale and width of brand is decided by scale and width of insight. So the original house of brands are the HULs and PNGs of the world, right? Why did they have to move from one brand to the other? Because the insight was limited. Dove ka aap detergent nahi kharidoge, Fair and Lovely surf ki aap cream nahi kharidoge. So they housed different brands, right? And hence, the logic of house of brands is not a consumer facing. There is no leverage on the consumer end. Hmm. Each brand needs to live its own life for the consumer. The leverage is at the back end. You have a common supply chain, common finance, common legal, etc., which you can leverage across brands. So that's the business logic. If you go a level deeper, actually, all these house of brand guys built multiple brands in one category at different price tiers. That's where the real back-end leverage also comes.
Correct.
Ki mera ek Rin bhi hai, aur mera Surf bhi hai, aur mera Comfort bhi hai, toh main pura price ladder main own karunga. Back-end is 80-90% similar. Right? That's where the real back-end leverage also comes. Which is the problem that I see with today's concept of house of brands. Completely disparate. Ek mom's brand bhi ban raha hai, ek men's brand bhi ban raha hai, ek kid's brand bhi ban raha hai. They're completely different. Back-ends are different, front-ends are, consumer toh bilkul hi different hai. Ek mein aap tubes procure kar rahe ho, ek mein aap tubs procure kar rahe ho, ek mein aap pouches procure kar rahe ho. Koi lena dena nahi. Right? So, I struggle with this definition of house of brands.
It's almost like being built on distribution. Like I have cracked Amazon, mujhe bechna aata hai, toh I'll just build on that.
Correct. So you see, it's the logic of house of brands is capability leverage. And it's a thinning curve. The more disparate your brands in your house are, the lesser the capability leverage. Because sourcing leverage has gone away if your brands are so different. Koi diaper bana raha hai aur koi cream bana raha hai, koi sourcing leverage nahi hai. But haan, maybe front-end selling capability leverage hai. I might argue that outlets are also very different. Right? Koi chips bana raha hai aur koi chocolate bana raha hai, outlets might be very different. So, so that's theoretically how I think about it. Personally, for us, I don't think we need to go there. Our insight is so large. My problem currently is not, oh, hum agla kya launch karenge. My problem currently is, 15 cheezon mein se kis pe pehle kaam karein. Right? Yeah. So, I literally can see 5-7 years into the future and still not run out of things to do which can be housed within the whole truth. So, so we don't think about it. But fundamentally, if I were to, this is how I would think about it.
Super. Listen, Shashank, this has been awesome. I think I've really enjoyed the conversation. I hope our listeners have done that too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for doing this, and looking forward to more from you.
Ah, pleasure. You, I hope the prep came in handy. You asked me the full. It was like, HL mein kya kya seekha sab bata. But yeah, it's been super fun. I think this is a very complete conversation around marketing and made me also put down all of my thoughts in one place. So thank you for that.
Super. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/matrixmoments. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.